Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Give it up for Jesus today. Come on, all the campuses. Come on, you can make more noise than that. You look good. You're beautiful. Look at your neighbor and say, you are beautiful. Gosh, there's a lot of junk up here today, right? We kind of stayed with the theme. How many of y'all were at the Girls Wild party Thursday night here? If you missed that, I feel so sorry for you. I actually shaved my legs for the event so I could go. Now, but it was phenomenal up at Earth City, and it was like a couple thousand women there, and they were just all dressed bad to the bone and really got to the bottom of a lot of stuff, and it's amazing. So when they started talking, and they had motorcycles on stage, they were doing tattoos, and I was like, this is my kind of deal. And I started singing the Shania song, you know, man, I feel like a woman. Come on, Sunset Hills, you like country music. Raise your hand if you're country music fans. Raise your hands if you're rap fans. You know, if you put country music and rap together, you get crap. Did you know that? That's it. But Nicole did such a great job, and the whole team. I said, hey, keep with the whole vibe there. And I like motorcycles a lot, and I want to kind of talk about today something that I believe will change your life, for real. I never like to overpromise, but I know this is a big one. It's about unforgiveness. When we have unresolved unforgiveness, it'll affect you forever. And I know this about motorcycles. Some of y'all think if you're riding a motorcycle, you can't carry all these bags with you, right? Yep. I mean, you don't know much, but you know that. This won't work. I cannot take all this stuff with me. I only have a few bags, but there's really no room for anything extra. So I believe that God has called you to run fast in 2024. I believe there's more for you in 2024, but God's probably trimming some things off you so you can feel free. By the way, I love motorcycles because, one, I don't have to talk to anybody. I just sit there on the bike and don't talk to anybody. I love doing that. You can even be with 12 guys on a motorcycle. You still don't have to talk to anybody. Anybody, you're outgoing, but you do need your alone time to figure out what happened in your head. Some of you didn't raise your hand because you don't even know what's happening in your head today. But it feels good. You got the wind in your face. It's kind of stretching you out. It's making marks, but you're kind of like the dog with the head out the window. It's just like your lips are going up. But you're going fast, and you're not taking much with you. And I got a feeling today that at all of our campuses here and in Florida, that you're taking too much stuff with you. And if we could trim down what is not necessary, it'll really help you to move quicker and freer and enjoy your life. Because everybody here has been wronged. Anybody in here agree with that? You've been wronged? Have you been wronged more than one time? Raise your other hand. Have you been wronged 27,000 times by the same person? But have you ever done anybody wrong? Not so many hands. You're like, well, I think maybe I have. But my result of doing people wrong was the fact that I've been done so wrong so long, I just needed to wrong somebody back. So we got pent-up anger and unresolved conflict. You think about the story of Job. Remember this story? You know, his whole life is great. He's got everything you can imagine, a beautiful family, a beautiful wife, everything you can. And all of a sudden now the enemy comes in and tries to give him all this baggage causing pain. And he has, his life is really, it feels like it's over. He's got boils all over his body. He's got all this depression hitting him. And at one point in his life, and I'm not going to deal with where his wife comes in and says, curse God and die. You know, how many of y'all know, you don't need a wife like that. He must have had life insurance, you know. Curse God and die. But he did something where he just screamed out to God. He let it all out. Sometimes you got to let it out. You need to get in a room, get on a motorcycle. I'm not meaning just losing your mind, but you'd be like, God, here it is, and I give it all to you. I forgive everybody that's ever done me wrong, and I mean to the top of your lungs. Nicole tried to get me to do this the other day. You want to hear a story real quick? We were at the Grand Canyon. We took the kids there, and we were looking at it. It was pretty amazing. And all of a sudden now it's dark. It's getting dark. And the moon, whatever it was, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, the moon was really, really big. It did this thing. And it just the full moon and the color of the moon, I forget what it was called, but it actually made Nicole a little cray-cray. And this, she said, it's a full moon. She's out there, and there's like 3 or 4 tourists, and then it's me and our daughter and her friend who's a boy who's not a boyfriend, but he's a boy and he's a friend, because I'm not ready to accept the fact that there's another man. Come on, go with me. Any dads in the house? Like, yeah, you're a boy and a friend, but you're really not a boyfriend. And don't hold her hand when I'm with you guys, because I hold her hand, right? And Nicole all of a sudden says, hey, let's do scream therapy. Nicole's really techie and brainy, and I'm like, I'm not doing scream therapy. And all of a sudden, the friend who's a boy goes along to suck up with what could be the mother-in-law. Come on, go with me on this. He's trying. So he's like, no! You hear, Nicole's like, that's good. And then Nicole's like, ah! And me and my daughter look at each other like, they're both crazy. How did we both land crazy? She said, Nicole said, no, this is a real thing. It's like scream therapy. It'll be good for you. And I'm like, no. There's some people who are from London, and they're standing next to us, and they're listening to all this. And then all of a sudden, she convinces me, and she kind of shames me, and aren't you a man, and why don't you yell and do it? And so I'm like, man, I got to do it. I got to do it. And I went like, ah. And the guy from London says, that was pathetic. Because he knew I didn't really want to do it. I'm out here, I don't want to do this, but I did have some stuff to scream about, and I did have some stuff to let loose. You say, why are you saying that? Because, see, that's what church does for you. When you come, it's therapeutic, and God begins to bring stuff up and take stuff out because he knows where he wants to take you. You can't take all this stuff with the divorce, the pain, the molestation, the abuse. Somebody ought to help me today. You got to let it go, let it drop, and let, no! I can hear like, nah. I feel like watching Lion King now. Nah. If you're new here, I apologize. If you brought your friend, I am sorry, I don't know what happened. I needed to scream more and I would be better. I don't mean you scream at people, but you let it out. Job had to let it out. You got to let it go. Yes, you were wrong. Yes, you were betrayed. But all that's doing is making you kind of angry. You're an angry elf. If you haven't seen that movie, God love you. Mark, let's go there. Mark 11, check this out. It says, truly I tell you, whoever says to the mountain, be lifted up, thrown into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believe those things he says shall take place, it'll be done for him. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe and trust, be confident that it'll be granted to you and you will get it. How many of y'all liking this so far? It's like, oh man, ask God what you want. Okay, I want the winning lottery tickets. I want a man with six-pack abs and a job. Go with me on this right now, right? Here's the kicker though. It's like the small print. It says, and when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, let it drop. Leave it and let it go. Everybody shout that with me. Let it drop, leave it, and let it go. Shout it again, real strong. Let it drop, leave it, let it go. For the Catholics, you know the drill. Let it drop, leave it, let it go. That's endearment if you're new. It's not making fun. Let it drop. He's got to let it drop. But see, if you don't let it drop, then your prayers are hindered. You don't feel confident, and you're really not happy. I want you to really be happy, and the enemy really doesn't want you to be happy. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so God knows for you to feel that feeling of freedom, of the wind in your face, you can't take all this stuff with you. By the way, there's a whole lot of people that have a whole lot of things going on in their world, and you realize, let me pause. Here's the problem with people. They're people. And here's the other problem. We have to deal with these people. Here's, you want to hear the last problem? We is those people. Yesterday, Nicole was preaching in Las Vegas. I went with her. And we're at this hotel, and it takes forever. You ever been in a hotel that like takes 20 minutes to take the elevator? It just takes forever. And I waited. We were on like the 26th floor, and I'd waited like 4 or 5 minutes, 10 minutes maybe 20 minutes. I think I waited 4 minutes actually, but it felt like 20 minutes. And the door opens, and there's three people waiting with me because at this point we've developed a line here. And the door opened up, and there's about 10 people in the elevator, but there's clearly room. You could easily put 3 or 4 more people in there. These people were shy and wouldn't go in. There's these like young blonde girls and guys, and they're all dressed up. And I went to get in, and they said, "You can't get on here. There's no room in here." And I said, "Oh, yeah, there's room in here." And she said, "There's no room in here." And I just squeezed right in and said, "There's plenty of room in here, and I'm going with you." And the people behind me, them, began to kind of laugh because they thought, this guy's brassy. But here's, I got in, and she tried to ruin my day because she wasn't happy, and she didn't want friends, but she didn't own the elevator, and I had paid way too much probably to, somebody paid for Nicole to be there, and I was with her. In fact, I didn't pay anything, but I was a problem. So I'm on the elevator now, and here's the part that I don't want to get. It angered me a little bit. Anybody ever felt like, who are you to tell me? By the way, you know, I have stuff to tell you. And then I felt kind of shamed on the elevator because I'm thinking what everybody's thinking. So I'm looking down at my email just to try to not look at everybody else. And then when I got off the elevator, I had no bags, but I had bags now. Who in the world does she think she is? Now I'm taking this chick with me that I don't want her to go with me. I'm the only one who got baggage. And I was thinking about her as I was walking out of the hotel, and I thought, I'm going to use this in my sermon tomorrow. This is perfect. Because I need to look like a star tomorrow, I'm going to forgive her. Let it go, and I'm going to leave her in these bags here, and I'm going to go, freedom! I'm not taking her with me. I'm going to let it drop. But then I got to thinking about, why did she make me so aggravated? Well, there's a lot of reasons why. She embarrassed me. She was judgmental. It was a problem. But then I thought, I was proud of myself that I wasn't like, oh, you won't let me in. I'm like, no, honey, we all ran this bad boy together. All in this together. Come on, somebody. I've never been a singer, but I want to play one on stage. We're all in this together. So since we're together, I don't know what her problem is, but I know what my problem is, and I've got some unresolved conflict that can trigger me, and then all of a sudden I'm triggered and I'm mad instead of going, I forgive her, let her go and let her drop. I don't know what it's like to be her, but I know what it's like to be me. And I stayed in this hotel with my beautiful wife last night, and I didn't even pay the bill. My wife is a communicator. They paid her to be there. They paid my bill. And I'm just charging stuff to the room. My life is good. I'm not taking you with me and you with me and my past with me. I'm going to release it. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it drop. Somebody ought to give God praise today. Let him go. It's not worth it. Look at your neighbor and say, let it drop. It's not worth it. I'll let you try that again because you're like, I'm going to let it drop. It's not worth it. I need you to, don't let me make Nicole come up here and go, no! By the way, it's funny. It doesn't pertain to the message, but it kind of does. We're going there. When the boy that's a friend yelled, okay, so he's African-American dude, and the only other African-American guy in all of the Grand Canyon was a half a mile away, and he heard Paris scream, and he screamed back. And an hour later, am I lying? An hour later, this brother comes walking down the trail, and they met, and they had never seen each other, and I'm like, how did that happen? Come to find out, he was a famous TikToker, and so Paris followed him, and now we're famous for all yelling in the woods together. Again, it had nothing to do with my sermon. You can do whatever you want with that piece. You got to let it go. You got to let it go. You know why you can let it go? Because Jesus said you could. Jesus let it go. Remember this? Jesus is now on the cross, and now he's taken all this baggage with him. He's got all of it, all of our sin, all of our... By the way, this is heavy. He's got all of our sin, all of our pain, all of our heartache, and he's never sinned. He's never done wrong, and he's paying a debt he didn't owe. We owed a debt we couldn't pay. And here he is hanging between two thieves. And he says these words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what..." Father, forgive them. Everybody shout that with me. Father, forgive them. Then he yells in a screamo therapy, like he says, "It is finished." And we watch the blood fall out of his side, and Mary's crying, and John's crying, and all the disciples, and the whole world goes dark in a sudden moment when God forgave us, and we weren't even born yet. He said, "I hope God forgives me. I didn't." He already forgave you before you were a glimmer in your father's eye. He already forgave you of stuff that you don't know you're going to do in 2025 in January that you never thought you were going to do. We're all going to make mistakes. But if we let Jesus handle it and we drop our bags at the altar and say, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to church and I'm going to get my heart right, and then I'm going to get my mind right, and I'm going to get my life right, and I'm going to forgive everybody, and I'm going to just release it on a Sunday, and I'll throw up my hands. Praise you again and again. All that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah." When you're raising up your hands, what are you doing? I can't keep this stuff up long. I was thinking that just now. It really is heavy. I just want to tell you. What if I come to church and I'm like, and I throw up my hands? Some of y'all know you want to put your hands down right away. You can't really praise God holding on to all that stuff. But when you're free and you let it go, he who the Son has set free is free indeed. And you're going to be happy again. And you're going to be lovely again. And the reason why you can't attract the right person right now is because you jack it up. Because you're like, "You're just like the last 12 husbands I done had." You got to let him go. Everybody shout, "Let him go." Let's go to Colossians 2:13. "And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of the flesh, hath he quickened together and made him alive, having forgiven, it's past tense, he's already done, having forgiven you all of your trespasses." Guys, it gets better. Verse 14, "blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that were against us. He took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." Took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. God took it out of the way. Everybody shout, "The Lord has forgiven me." Now I want you to say this strong. "So I forgive myself." Some of you don't like you. You say stuff to yourself. "You never, you always. You're fat, you're skinny, you're too short, you're too tall." All these things, the enemy comes in and then he gets on your shoulder and he adds more stuff to it, and you're angry elf, just like Pastor David said. And you're holding on to stuff. You got to let it go. Because I want you to ride your motorcycle alone. I want you to take a walk with your dog alone. I want you to shower alone. When you're showering and you've got all of your problems and all those people... Anybody ever been in the car by yourself and then all of a sudden you started thinking about bad things and the people that did you wrong? And you were by yourself and you wanted to kick them out of the car, but they weren't even in the car to kick them out. You got to let that go. And it's going to take God's help. It's going to take church, because if you go the way of the world, what you're doing is you're building roots that go down deep that create fruit that you don't like. So roots create fruit that you do like or you don't like. The Bible said you can tell a tree by its fruit. That's an apple tree. That's a pear tree. That's a fig tree. So you can tell them. So if you're angry all the time and you're aggravated, you got to let that go, because you don't even want to be that way. But you didn't let it go, and you got too much unresolved conflict, and you're not letting God heal it. And then all of a sudden now, you have you ever been so aggravated or just kind of messed up in the head that you just kept digging the hole deeper by going, somebody said, you're in a bad mood. You're like, no, I'm not in a bad mood, but you're... Apparently, God, I'm the only one that needed a sermon today. I think you were way off in the way that you led me. Anybody here just kept digging yourself deeper and deeper and deeper? I'm looking for all hands, because I need your wife to know that you're admitting that you're an idiot. Why don't I stop digging? All right. Luke 17, verse 1. Am I helping anybody? Raise your hand if this is good for you. Do you feel like the person next to you definitely needed this sermon? Then I said, he said unto his disciples, it is impossible that offenses come, so they're going to offend you. You can't go down the elevator. Wah, wah, wah. But woe unto them and who they come. For it's better to him that a millstone were hanging around their neck than to cast one of these and cast into the sea than to offend one of these little ones. Verse 3, take heed to exact what your wife's doing. Take heed to what your boss did. Take heed to who?
Yourself.
The problem is, if you don't deal with it here, you're like, I need to move to Alabama. I need to move to Detroit. Well, the problem is, you'll still be there. And you is the problem. I'm pointing all these fingers back to me. Take heed to yourselves, brothers. If they trespass against you, rebuke them. So that's good. I'm good at that. How many of y'all got that covered? No problem. Rebuke them. If he or she repents, forgive them. And if they trespass against you seven times in a day, turn to them again saying, I forgive you. And the apostles said, Lord, increase our faith. This is going to be hard. And the Lord said, hey, this is important. If you have faith as grain of a mustard seed, you can say to the sycamine tree, or look at your neighbor and say, if you're sick of yours, I'm sick of mine. Come on, somebody. sycamine tree, be thou plucked up at the root and be planted into the sea. Now, here's the interesting thing about a sycamine tree. The sycamine tree has the deepest roots, you can Google this, of any of the structures of any of the trees in the Middle East. They're robust, they're tough. They go down deep because of the desert. And the only way that a sycamine tree actually grows is it's actually pollinated by the stinger of a wasp. Fact check that. By the stinger of the wasp. And why did God talk about a fence? And knowing that he's talking about a tree that is only pollinated by the stinger of a wasp, because he knew that you were going to get stung. And that these roots are going to go down deep. And if you're not careful, if you live a while, if you're 13, 14, 15, some of these kids have been done wrong, and you're getting a hold of this early, and you're going to go scream in the mountain somewhere and release it and give your cares to God, and you're going to be healthy. But some of us have went through decades of pain and shame and abuse, and we've been stung a lot of times. Raise your hand if you've been stung a lot of times. Also, the sycamine tree grows in dry climates. When you're dry, the oil of the Holy Spirit's not with you. You're not keeping yourself by the rivers of living water. It grows. It just really festers and grows. The sycamine tree is the preferred tree for caskets. It's killing you. And if you don't bury it, it's going to bury you. You got to let it go. Now, I know a little bit about you. You're like, we've never been to lunch. How do you know? I know that you love God because you wouldn't get up on a Sunday morning when nobody else typically does. One out of every five Sundays now, this is the new stats and the average, one out of every one, two, three, four, five, only one of those do people go to church now. People do what they want to do, think what they want to think. And now we got to look at the news. How's that working for them? Killing, shooting, looting. Chaos, not in the Middle East, right here in the born in the USA right here. Because we've taken God out. When you take God out, you invite the stinger in. You invite the dryness in. You invite hatred in. And so now there's railing for railing and eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And Jesus, he said, hey, why don't you, if they slap you on one cheek, give them the other cheek. How many of y'all read this or at least heard about it? Raise your hand. The problem is you've only got four of these. Come on, somebody ought to help me. After a while, you're like, I've taken my last butt kicking from you. Anybody ever had arguments with people and they haven't even done it yet? You just knew that if you said that, it was going to trigger that, and you were already ready with your speech. Raise your hand. Anybody ever had somebody talk to you and they were trying to calm you down or try to talk sense into you, and you could even hear what they said because you were formulating the next thing, you were about to rip open a new one on them? Getting less hands, but I feel like I'm not really getting truth. The enemy comes in and tries to sting you. But love endures and love conquers. Check it out. 1 Corinthians 13. I've only got 4 minutes and 36 seconds. I'm going to go preach this at Earth City. You're more than welcome to follow me because I think you need more of this. If you come back at 11:40, I'll be back here, do it again. At 12:30, do it again. There's like three or four more times we could get to the bottom of this today, and I can see it. I can feel you going, man, this is it. And I need to forgive, and I need to let go, and I need to let it drop. But the enemy's going to talk to you before you get to the car and say, ah, that's stupid. You know what? I'm going to slap you before you slap me. And all it's doing is bringing more and more baggage into your life. Here's the answer, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love endures long and is patient and is kind. I hate that part, but I don't write this stuff. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It's boastful. It's never boastful or vainglorious. It does not display itself haughtily. Actually, I want to pause and tell you a better way that I could have done the elevator thing. Instead of saying, you know, you're mean to me, so I'm going to come back and be, I talk for a living. So I can rip you up one side, down the other, in the name of Jesus, and give you five scriptures to send you to hell for what you just did. From touch not my anointed to do my prophets no harm, to we could go wherever. And so I should have come on the elevator when she was mean and they were doing whatever and said, hey man, I'm so sorry I offended you. If there's any way that I could squeeze in here, I've just really been waiting a long time. And how many of y'all know that would probably be more attractive than saying, oh, we riding this together? Come on, raise your hand. Don't you think that'd have been better? Some of y'all really judging. At least I didn't slap her. Come on, somebody, this is good. I didn't slap her. I'm not, Pastor David can't be here today. Why? He's in jail in Vegas. Apparently what happens in Vegas doesn't stay in Vegas. He stayed in Vegas. He can't make it. He got anger issues. He should have went out with Nicole and screamed, but instead he was like, ah, he got problems. But see what I'm saying? Love's not haughty or arrogant. It doesn't boil over. I was already ready to slap somebody because I've been waiting for 20 minutes. Plus, I pastor a church of thousands of people. Plus, I got a long list of reasons why I can be the way I am. But all of those go away when Jesus said, forgive them. If you do the math, 490 times a day over the same offense. I've never had anybody do me wrong, the same person, 490 times. I think I've been in the mid-fours with some people. But I'm here to tell you that there's no excuse. And why? Not because God isn't fair or he doesn't want us to. He wants us to process pain biblically, because if not, we're conceited and we're haughty and we're narcissistic and we're mean instead of loving, kind, and tender. And then when you get on the elevator, people go, aw, poor old 50-year-old man, he's being mean to him. Let him in. Can I ride the elevator with you guys? That's way more attractive than bowing up, right? And like, hey, Blondie, by the way, your roots are showing. That ain't even real. And part of your extensions that you clipped in are hanging off the side of your head. This is real, okay? Again, new people, I apologize. I don't always do this. He's an angry elf. Verse 5. It is not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. Oh gosh, guys, it's not rude. It's It's not rude. It's not unmannerly. What I just exhibited was rude and unmannerly. You should never tell somebody their extensions are not good. Does not act unbecomingly. You ever see any of that in traffic? In a marriage? Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. Resentful, what a word. Resent it. Resent the way they treated me. I resent. It takes no account of an evil done. This last one's a real doozy, guys. I hate this part. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Are you serious right now? Pays no attention to suffered wrong? Completely out of time, but I'm not out of content. 9 seconds over, actually 14 seconds over, now 16 seconds over. It's over, but this isn't over. I want you to think about a couple things. Think about a couple things that hit you today, especially if you're with your husband or your wife or your kids or something, and you kind of want to leave church and not talk about it, but you know you need to say you're sorry. That's hard if you're prideful. I'm sorry. I do it to my wife sometimes. She'll do something, and, you know, I don't even know what the scenario is, and then all of a sudden she's like, I'll be like, and she's like, you know, the appropriate answer would have just been, you're sorry. I know that's right. And if I'm in a good frame of mind, I go, yeah, I'm sorry. If I'm in a bad frame of mind, I just don't even say anything about it. But then when I get alone, I go, man, what a great wife. Who else is going to stand on the Grand Canyon and try to get this out of me right now? And so sometimes you're the meanest to the people that you should be the nicest to. And when you go back and you say, hey, you know, earlier when I said all that stuff, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. And here's the reason why I was angry. No, I was just wrong. Not my dad put my life at risk. I was molested by my uncle, and these are horrible things that happen to people. But we got to let it go. We got to let it drop. I think that person didn't do me wrong. So what I'm going to do for the rest of my life is I'm going to try my best to take the humble approach, and I'm going to put all the bags away, and I'm going to ride free, and I'm going to let God do what he does, because I've only got so many Christmases left, and I don't know how many I got. But I know the ones that I got left, I'm going to live them with the people that I love, and I'm going to let them know I love them, I care for them, and I got some unresolved issues that I'm going to try to let go of, but I'm sorry. And Dad is doing the best he can with what he got. Somebody ought to help me right now. And when you do that, it makes people say, come on, get on the elevator, old man. You're okay. And then everybody will love you because you're not a meanie, meanie, angry elf. You're just a nice old man. Stand with me. We're 3 minutes over now. Pray that the cops take a blind eye to what we're about to do on the highway. Look at me just for 1 minute. I want to tell you that I'm so proud of you. Man, am I proud of you. Proud of the way you listen today. Proud of the way you, why do you do that? I don't need this for me. I need this for you. Yeah, this verbally and physically sends a signal to your brain that begins to rewire what's happening in your mind so you trigger differently. The neural pathways in your mind, I want to take that trail that's so easy that you go down to, I want to close that road off, and I want to get a new one for you. And say, I don't care what they did. I care what Jesus did for me, and that's why I go to church, and that's why I sing songs, and that's why I'm faithful to Jesus. Come on, somebody. Does that make sense to you? I know it does because you're smart. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray right now for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. All of us have been hurt. From the time we came in where they slapped us or cut our umbilical cord till now, we all have issues, unresolved conflict, pain, emotional trauma, And God, like only you can do, you can touch the parts of our soul as you did today that make us say, you know what, we're going to talk about this. We're going to go through this, and we're not going to put it under the rug. We're only collecting more bags here. God, I thank you the Holy Spirit's going to heal them and touch them and set them free. God, they're going to get in a group, because in groups around tables and with friends that heard the same sermon they did today, it helps release their preferred future. So there will be many open doors in 24. I prophesy that over you by the Holy Spirit. Many open doors in 24. God is getting you ready right now. He's cutting some wires so that you can do what he's called you to do. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand. Please be seated as you watch this.